Welcome to the Agricultural Economics Podcast. This is your host, Jessica Eyes, and I'm here with my co-host, Dr. Ken Foster. How are you, Ken?
I'm doing great, Jessica. I just got back from Central America and a visit to the country of Belize.
How was that?
It was awesome. You know, I lived there for 3 years a long time ago. It's been 32 years, and so I was expecting lots of things to change, but, you know, the one thing that didn't change was the people, awesome people in Belize, and I ran into some of my former students, and I am so proud of the things that they're doing.
That's great. Yeah. What were you doing when you were there?
I taught in an agricultural college, and I did a little bit of research, and then we ran a beekeeping project with some refugees from El Salvador.
It's awesome. I'm amazed you came back to join us here in the studio.
You mean what was I doing there this time or 32 years ago? I was thinking about 32 years ago. This time, we're exploring a study abroad. Possibility there for our students in Belize. It's just an incredible natural laboratory to study the interactions between food and agriculture and culture.
Well, joining us today, we have a faculty member of ours, Dr. Mike Gunderson, who's going to talk about performance management and a recent survey that came out.
Cool. So yeah. I think Dr. Gunderson should maybe explain to all of us what he means by performance management. I think I know because, you know, this is the time of year when I'm evaluating the performance of some of the employees here in the department. But I'm hoping to learn something from this discussion. So, Mike, it's great to have you with us.
Yeah, well, glad to be here. And I'm also glad, like Jessica, that you came back. And I forgot it's summer down there, so it probably is pretty hot.
You may be the only two people that are glad to
come back. Especially because it's performance evaluation time.
Yeah, that's right. So, as economists, we're pretty averse to putting people into our models, so we create this whole other person, homo economicus, to deal with the trouble that people create in our models. And so one of the things that we want to do in the Center for Food and Agriculture Business was think about what is the role of people in firms. I mean, firms are a collection of people and what they're trying to accomplish, and so that's what we were trying to understand. And we have a whole talent management model, and one piece of that is performance management, and we were trying to understand how do food and agribusiness firms stack up against other industries in terms of helping employees understand how their own personal and professional goals align with the organization's goals and how to retrack our movement towards achieving those.
So the key finding I understand from this survey was people matter?
Yeah, right.
Yes.
Like good academic, we proved the obvious probably, but people matter and performance management matters. So companies whose employees self-grade their performance management processes well tend to outperform companies that their employees grade their performance management processes poorly. So companies that had A's and B's, they tend to grow faster in terms of their revenue, they tend to grow faster in terms of their employees, they tend to outperform their competitors in terms of profitability and just overall success of the company. And so a performance management process can help both the individual achieve their goals, but also help the company be more successful.
So can you, and maybe some of this is for my own edification, but you know, perhaps for some of our listeners too that are out there maybe trying to manage a workforce, can you maybe just describe what are some elements of a good performance management system?
Yep. Yeah. So, and a lot of my understanding has been informed by a book called One Page Talent Management. If you're out there trying to do it, I think it's worth reading. But one of the things that they said to me that surprised me was, you know, I've always been taught that SMART goals are important, so it needs to be specific and measurable and attainable and realistic and timely. And they suggest, well, that's maybe overkill. Really, it should be simple. So specific, important, and measurable. And measurable would include the timely element of it. So as you build your goals at the beginning of the year, and we're coming to the end of our year and assessing performance over the year, but then also setting goals for the next year, make sure those goals are simple. They're specific, important, and measurable. And they suggest you only have maybe three or four key goals that you're focusing on over the year so your effort doesn't get spread out. Another thing that they talk about in that book and that we asked about in the survey is the frequency by which we give feedback towards measurement of those. And I think a lot of organizations probably just do a once a year, formally do just once a year feedback. And then inside the organization, different managers might do it more frequently informally. And folks tend to actually really appreciate that informal, frequent feedback in terms of being able to course correct instead of waiting all the way to the end and saying, well, why didn't you get this done?
So a lot of this sounds like it's about communication and communicating, you know, sort of common goals and values and helping people align so they know what to work on.
Yep, absolutely. A big part of it's communication and dialogue and coming to an agreement on a person's plan for the year and how they're going to develop personally and professionally and work to achieve the goals of the organization. One of the things that you're hitting on is closely related to another book that I've read called 4DX, which is the Four Disciplines of Execution. And they strongly encourage folks to put group goals up on a visible scoreboard. So that you can see if we're trying to track towards customers retained. Maybe we try to track how many customers have we retained throughout the year, and we have that goal that's visible, and we can see how we're tracking towards it. And if something dips or we get off course, what are the things that we got to do in the short term to fix that? So definitely communication and how we communicate and visually can be a big part of that.
What spurred your interest, or what launched this this type of research?
So historically, the Center for Food and Agricultural Business has been very good at delivering material around sales, marketing, finance, strategy, decision making. And the one piece that we probably have missed and that we get a lot of feedback about is, what about the leadership perspective? What about the management, you know, the management of talent perspective, and why don't you guys have that in the classroom? So we've got more and more and more feedback, whether it's in our open enrollment programs or our custom programs, about you guys really need to bring that expertise to the market. And we don't have anybody on staff, so we reached out to Dr. Karen Grabo, who had just recently retired from a long career with Land O'Lakes, and before that she was with Target, and she helped inform the model that we're using and the things that we're trying to accomplish in the center. So, but clearly the marketplace, our participants in our center program saying, hey, this is a space we need help with.
What were some of the challenges that you found in studying people versus these other areas where you have these tangible numbers to work with?
Well, just in general, I think people are a little less predictable. If I think about the survey, one of the things that we found is that in terms of communication and in terms of people and how we manage them, sometimes what is said at the water cooler is well known, but we don't surface that during performance management time. So people know that there are maybe less productive folks in the organization. And if you're a high performer, you want the performance management process to surface that and help that person achieve their goals and achieve all the great things that they can. So if your performance management system isn't designed to do that, then you're probably missing an opportunity to elevate the whole organization, because one, you're not helping elevate the performers that have some opportunity to improve, but you also have high performers who feel slighted or angry because there's not a full effort there. So it's not, you know, one of the things that happens, I teach finance a lot, and one of the things that happens a lot is we talk about fixed expenses, and one way to improve the bottom line is to cut fixed expenses. Well, usually the biggest part of fixed expenses is employee salaries, and people don't, you know, they don't keep at their level of productivity if you go and give them a pay cut. So there's kind of, instead of cutting expenses, we talk about optimizing them and what are the things that we can do to understand what motivates our employees, what makes them happy, what makes them engaged in the company.
Very cool. So maybe I should start putting some stuff on the message board here on the sixth floor outside the elevators that says, you know, what have you done to help our students excel today? Or hey, your fellow professors have published 3 papers so far this year. What have you done?
Well, I think those are good ideas. One thing you might want to consider, though, is it's a group goal.
I don't know if they're good ideas, right? Or not.
But I think it's a group goal. How are we moving as a department towards scholarship whether it's in discovery or teaching or engagement, what are the metrics that we care about as a department, and how are we tracking towards them? And if those things are important, then we all are accountable. It's not one person, not what did
That's
you
right.
do, but what are we doing, and what are we doing to support each other?
How successful have we been towards those goals? So in the end, you know, homo economicus, this, you know, individual who knows everything
Rational.
With perfect knowledge, never makes any mistakes, knows exactly what the costs and benefits are, is just another Bigfoot.
Yeah.
Nice to tell a story about, but you're not going to see one.
I always tell Ken that he over-attributes rationality to human decision-making processes.
It's bounded, right?
It's bounded. It's conditional on the information that we have at hand.
So I have a question, because this performance management survey was just about agricultural businesses. And I don't know if you looked into this, but did you find that there is a difference between how agricultural businesses manage performance versus other sectors?
Yeah, so the survey itself was actually created at the Center for the Middle Market, the National Center for the Middle Market, which is housed at the Fisher School of Business at Ohio State University. And they partnered with the Society for Human Resource Management to do this survey, retook almost wholesale their survey and executed it with food and agribusiness firms. A couple of little differences. One, they only interviewed executives, C-suite senior executives. We asked the question to anybody that would fill out our survey. And then the other thing that's important in terms of your question is they only shared some very high-level data, and our industry tends to stack up very closely with what they found across all industries for firms that have revenues between $10 million and $1 billion annually. So similar metrics in terms of how much faster do self-graded firms perform relative to poorly graded ones. How do they do in terms of employee growth? How do they do in terms of profitability? Maybe the only surprising thing was we did ask respondents about their profit margins relative to competitors, and by like a huge margin, our respondents didn't know. And I don't know if that's because they don't know their own margins or their competitors' margins or what that was. Our response to or the percent that clicked on I don't know was like six times greater than the percent that clicked on I don't know in the middle market firms. So
I wonder if that was because it was surveying just the C-suite. Yeah,
I think you're onto something there.
Yeah.
In their survey, the C-suite would be acutely attuned
yes.
to those things.
Yeah.
Maybe somebody on the front lines of the organization might not be paying as close attention to that.
Although
that's a
really
good observation.
Yeah.
Fascinating. So great information for people that manage people and the challenges that go along with that.
We're creating an open enrollment program around this topic mm-hmm. area. So we're going to have an open enrollment in October where folks that are managing people. So this isn't an HR program. This isn't a senior executive program. This is for those folks that are sort of in the middle management level that are managing people, trying to get their team to really achieve goals, to come and have some practical tools. They'll walk away from the seminar with a tailored plan for them to go back to the office and make a difference with their employees and their organization. So we're really excited about the program. Alan Gray is going to be on the slate. Karen Grabo is going to be on the slate. And it's just going to be a really great program.
Thank you so much, Mike, for joining us here. This is the Agricultural Economics Podcast here at Purdue University.